When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Do you have things that you want to do for yourself or for your business, but they always get put on the back burner? Do you want to share space with others getting stuff done? Well, join the High Vibe Coworking, which is every Wednesday from noon to noon EST via Zoom and totally free. Visit highvibe.com/virtual to learn more.
Jazzcast Pros.
Today, I want to talk about this topic that is very near and dear to my heart. I'm going to bounce a little bit back and forth between the garden metaphor and business experience because I think that they bounce off each other really well in this. And the idea is that in your business, you should build something lovely. And my podcast producer, Jazzy, was like, when I put that in the like our idea section of this document we work off, and she's like, what does that mean? What I mean when I say that is what you're building is something that you should want to spend time in. You should be so drawn to it that you enjoy being there.
Welcome to High Vibe Table Talks, the podcast to help you, the cautiously ambitious woman, remove mental barriers and take action now so that you can achieve your high vibe desires. I'm Rashawn, your high vibe curator, cheerleader, and accountability partner. As a wife, a mother, and an entrepreneur who recently quit my job to follow my dreams, I understand why you may be hesitant to throw caution to the wind and take that leap.
I obviously understand that there aren't going to be all aspects of your business that you're going to love being in, that you're going to love doing. In a lot of my sales discussions, we talk about building and rewards because there are things like cold calling and billing and HR and just different aspects of anybody and everybody's business that you're not going to enjoy doing. But I think such a crucial part of especially early entrepreneurship is finding things that you don't enjoy doing. Like there are so many different ways that you can build a business. And initially, you're going to find a lot of ways that you can do it that just aren't it for you. I'll give you a couple of examples. One example is I have a client who likes to sew. And sewing was like her thing and it was her creative outlet and it was a way for her to make money outside of her 9-to-5 job. And so when she first started out, she was doing custom sewing projects for people. So someone would say, oh, I have this event that I have to go to. Can you build me a dress or an outfit for that evening? And they would kind of talk about what they like, dislike, how they, the vision of it. And then my client would go and sew it for them. Because that was how she saw or how she initially thought that sewing could turn into her business. And she did that for a little while and then she realized she hated it. It was like, it was so much pressure for her. And she, you know, it was never that the customer didn't like what she was doing, but the process of getting to the end point through sewing was not enjoyable for her at all. I had another client who had a product-based business and she spent a whole summer just being at every trade show, every pop-up, every market she could possibly be at. And then by the time like November hit, she was like so burnt out, so exhausted. And so when she was like doing some planning for the next year, she's like, I don't want to do that again. No, thank you. I don't want every Saturday and Sunday to be completely dedicated to these markets. So how can I switch up my business plan so that it doesn't look like that? So something that she did was create a subscription-based business. So someone can sign up and say, I want treats delivered. So the product got delivered to people's houses on a monthly basis. And she was very then able to carefully look at what markets she wanted to go to. And that wasn't the sole thing that she did in her business. She was also able to partner with other companies. And so she would say, hey, you're having a booth at this market. Can my product be on your table? So then you're still getting the interaction. You're still getting some traction. And your entire life isn't dedicated for every weekend to going to these trade shows. And so it is a lot of trial and error. In my dad's business, there were certain things that were non-negotiable for him. And so he wanted a business that had a lot of recurring revenue. So for this month to create revenue similar to what he did last month, he doesn't have to sell anymore. For the most part, the customers, they are recurring. They have a continuous need for what he sells. And so they sign, it's a long sales process. And once they become customers, the turnover, the churn is another another word that you'll hear a lot in business, churn. And it's just the number of customers that you lose on a monthly, quarterly, annual basis. How many customers did you get and how many customers did you lose? What's that churn rate? So his churn is relatively low, and he knows there's specific reasons why people churn. And a lot of times it's not because of his business. It's because they got bought out. It's because they changed ownership. They were closing, things like that. So that was something that was important to him to build into his business, because while he is good at selling, he doesn't want it to be this constant pressure of having to sell all the time to make the same amount of money. A characteristic of his ideal client was that they would generate that same amount of need for his service month in, month out, regardless of, you know, him having to upsell them. When you're thinking about your ideal client, think about the type of business that you want to sell. Why I relate this and say, like, build something lovely and compare it to the garden is because a garden, at least for me, and this is, again, I'm only speaking for me, when I first started my garden, I grew vegetables and I grew a lot of vegetables, and it was very vegetable focused. And the reason was because I wanted to feed my family, feed my friends. So I went to Lowe's and I picked up all of these started plants from there and came back and planted it. And it was a recipe. Like, I really enjoyed, like, the second or third year I put in these, like, really cool wooden elements. And so it was definitely a refuge for me to go out and, like, decompress. But I think that, like, a nice chair is important because you can sit and just be with it. And that garden produced a lot for me. It was focused on the production. How many tomatoes did I get? How much zucchini did I get? How many cucumbers did I get? What have you done for me lately? And that's a very transactional relationship between myself and my garden. And I don't want the relationship between me and my business to be like that either. Like, what have you done for me lately? I go to my garden because I like the peace of it. I like how it looks. I like how it smells. I like the calmness of it. I grow probably, I think I'm at like, I have more seed varieties in this, but I think I am going to grow 20 varieties of tomatoes this year between cherry tomatoes, grape tomatoes, a little bit bigger, and then like the beefsteak tomatoes. And I grow probably 7 types of peppers. I grow 4 types of cucumbers. And part of it is because I like things for their beauty, their appeal, the fact that I get to like pull this tomato that is like a deep crimson, like black red color, and it has a smokiness to it. Or I have these really cool Brad's Atomic Grape cherry tomatoes. If you've never seen those, look those up. They have these like striations and all these cool colors. I grow these green zebra tomatoes that are the same color as a Green Bay Packers. So they're really beautiful and they taste really good. And they bring a visual appeal when you put them in a salad. And so, like, going up to my garden, and when you first walk in, there's a trellis and you get to grow things that climb up. And the past couple of years, I've grown these Chinese noodle beans that are like between 12 and 18 inches long, and they just hang from this trellis. So you just walk through and you're just like, it's just beautiful. And not only do I want to spend time in it, I want to bring others to spend time in it. When I spend time in it, because I'm drawn to its beauty, its peace, its refuge, I pull more weeds than if it's not, if it's just transactional, if it's just, I have to go to the garden to pick out cucumbers, then I'm going to come back. And it's, and like the picking of the weeds is forced and it's not this natural habit that's built onto being drawn to this place that is beautiful. Like I said, this kind of goes back and forth between the garden metaphor and the entrepreneurial journey. But in the instance of my dad's business, he wasn't drawn to sell more because he had to replace that churn and there was this pressure and this force into it. It was like, I can build my business bigger. How can I build my business bigger? And there's just a different energy around it. For the product-based business, it wasn't like, I have to go to the market because I have to sell treats because I've made all these. It's like, I'm going to create a relationship with someone and I get to sell my things at their table and I get to create this community around it. And I don't have to be there physically for my product to be sold. I get to create this relationship and I can be sitting on my couch while things are happening. Or I put in more work in the front end so I have a really successful subscription service and now I get to do something that's more fun. I get to volunteer my time at a cause that I care deeply about. It's a much more long-term approach because, again, you have to know what you want the end game to be. You have to know what you want your ideal client to look like, how you want to show. And it really comes down to, like, how do you want to show up in your business? Do you want to show up 4 hours a week? Do you want to show up 12 hours a day? Like, again, that's not to say that there aren't hard parts of every business. You know, another metaphor that I have found that weaves itself deeply through both entrepreneurship and gardening is the must be nice. You know, like people are like, oh, it must be so nice to have a garden. It must be so nice to like be your own boss. It must be so nice to have your own business. It must be so nice to just go out on into your backyard and pick fresh produce. Yes, and like it is, it's incredible to own my own business and all the pressure is on me. If it fails, it's on me. It is so nice to be able to go into the garden and pick fresh produce and be able to have fresh salsa. Like, oh, I love fresh salsa. I made a really good batch of it last year and I'm hoping I can replicate it and can some of it this summer. Anyways, that is really, really nice. And weeding sucks. Cold calling sucks. Like the pressure of it, it is a lot. And there's a lot of parts of it. There's a reason why not every person has a garden. There's a reason why every person isn't an entrepreneur. And it's because there are parts of it that I am willing to show up to because the outcome of it is so important to me. And there's a reason why others don't. The biweekly paycheck outweighs the risks and benefits of starting your own business. And that's not to say I'm better. I'm, you know, like I can put up with more than you, or, you know, like it's not a comparison. It's not to say one is better, one is worse. It's reflecting inward and saying, this is what I want my legacy to be. I have this sticker that's behind me that says plant a legacy. And the legacy may be, I want to work 9 to 5. I want to work a full-time job and be an employee because I want to get my kids on the bus every day and I want to be able to go to their sporting events and I don't want to bring any work home with me. And like, these are the things that are important to me. And there are others where it's like, I want my legacy to be this business where I empowered other women to start their own business so they could make an income and an impact. And they had a community, a table to sit at with others who are going through the trenches. And that is so important to me that I'm going to risk a paycheck to do so. Again, it's not about better or worse. It's what do you want your legacy to be? What legacy are you planting? In that same thread, there is this message that has been coming through for me the past couple of weeks Because like I said, like entrepreneurship is hard and you do have to choose your hard. You know, for some reason I'm on this like TikTok where it's like horrible bosses and people write in and talk about their like horrible experiences with their bosses. A boss will like email them as he's walking into a meeting, like, I need those numbers. And they're like, I'm on vacation. I don't have them. How dare you take vacation before, you know? And it's like, well, you never told, like, if you let me know, I would have, you know, or like requesting time off and things like that. So being an employee can be hard. Being an employer can be hard. But there's this thing that has been in friction for me of why does it always have to be hard? Like, is it always going to be hard? Because I was sitting at a conference and people at the table were talking about things that they're currently struggling with. You know, like, hey, I'm really having a hard time with this. Does anyone have any tips on it? And the tips never really got there. It was more like, oh yeah, this, like, it just sucks. Like, this just is the way that it is. Before I went full-time in my business, I was working at a Pilates studio. And I really enjoyed working at the studio. This is not talking bad about anybody at the studio, because it really was like a great place to work. And there was this guilt that I had when I was leaving because I felt very unfulfilled and it started to create a resentment inside of me because I was like, I have amazing bosses. I get to work in the fitness arena where people show up every day and they leave feeling so good. The clients were amazing. I had this staff that was just, they were wonderful. Like, they were wonderful, wonderful people. And I have so much resentment every day waking up going to work. The more I sat with it, it was not a reflection on them. It was a reflection on me of like what was important to me. I think maybe I talked about this in my Zone of Genius episode that we can link back to. But the idea was that it checked off a lot of boxes for me as far as like building something lovely. I was able to get my daughter on and off the bus. I loved being in the fitness arena. I liked the people that I was working with and managing. I had great bosses. They were just good salt of the earth people. And yet for some reason, I was waking up every day and feeling resentment towards it. And so as I was listening to people at this conference talk about their hard, it brought me back to my hard at the studio. And there were things at the studio that I couldn't fix or make better to reduce like the things that were hard there. It was a very reactive space to be in because you're managing users, you're managing clients, you're managing like them coming in. If they can't book a class using their credits, like that can't be fixed in 48 hours. That can't be fixed like when you get back from vacation or like after bedtime because you're currently like getting my daughter off the bus. Like there was a deep immediacy to it. And so hearing them talk brought me back to why I had that resentment towards that job. If I wasn't building my business and I like didn't have weekend and evening conflicts that I do now with like our daughter and coaching her in her sports and things like that, it would have been like such an amazing job. Because again, like it checked all these boxes. And again, because this is about navigating the messy middle of entrepreneurship, I went into a little bit of a rut of like, am I building my business so that I can go back to that? Like, am I just building something that's going to put me back to that hard that I woke up resenting every day? As I processed it and talked about it with my community and other women that I just have conversations with on a weekly basis, it doesn't have to be this dichotomy of either this or that. It's either you're an employee or you have this business that you show up to and have to put fires out all day, every day, and you don't enjoy. I'm currently reading one of Anthony Bourdain's memoirs, and he was talking about how he left the restaurant industry because he was so burnt out, and he felt like it was either 100-hour work week, 7 days a week, or not working in food at all, not working in restaurants at all. because he wasn't like cooking food he loved. He was just putting out literal fires all day, every day. So he had to step away from it and take some time to not be in that for a while before he found a way that did feel more enjoyable for him. I think he obviously still battled a lot of demons, so maybe that's not the best example. But, you know, also Glennon Doyle in her book Untamed talks about building your island, your love island, and you get to decide who comes on and off. That's your island. You get to decide what that gate looks like, those boundaries look like. It's your business. You get to decide what it looks like. The hard parts of keeping someone off your island are going to be holding up strong boundaries. Those are your boundaries. They're yours to decide. You know, and if you have to kick someone off the island, that's going to be hard. And so it's not to say that there aren't hard parts when you're building something lovely that you enjoy being in, when it is your business, your garden, your heart, your island. It's the fact that it doesn't have to be this either or. It doesn't have to be either I let people stomp all over me or I'm on this island alone because I keep everybody out. Those aren't the only two options. You get to decide where you live in the middle of that, in that in between. You know, I think especially as I am planning out my garden and planning out some additional spaces and how to make it beautiful, the flowers I'm adding, because again, flowers are not transactional for the most part. You don't sit and chomp away. I can't feed my family based on my flower garden. But I walk out there and I'm like, oh, this is stunning. The other benefit, it brings hummingbirds, it brings bees, it brings monarchs, it brings all these other things that do enjoy, that do get some sort of transactional beauty, some sort of transactional benefit from these flowers, which then benefit my cucumbers because they're pollinating. I'm bringing them in and then they're pollinating my cucumbers. So there is like some sort of benefit, even if it isn't like a one-to-one. But also, like, I look outside my window, and last year I grew these like really tall jet black hollyhocks that I grew because the color of it looked like my dog Bane's coat. And I was like, oh, that's so beautiful. And I would go outside and I would just admire them. And then I would pick some weeds. And then I would see like a plant that needed to be tied up. So I spent time in the business, in the garden, because I was brought into it for the beauty, the refuge, the peace. This podcast is something that I, at this point, am not monetizing in a big way. And I'm still drawn to it because I'm so inspired. I love the beauty. Like, I was listening to a podcast on my way home today and I was like, that was just like a beautifully done podcast. Like, yes, I took something out of it and I was inspired by the art and storytelling of it and the way that she did it. And so I was like drawn to sit down and do something similar to her. And so it just drew me back in. And yeah. It's funny. I think this is like my second or third solo episode where I was like talking to my producer, like, I can't talk for half an hour about that, right? Like, how am I going to expound upon like this concept? I think the other one was like the CRM one. And here I am coming up on 28 minutes of talking about build something lovely. But I truly believe that part of why people drop out or stop is because they think they should do something in a certain way. They create a transactional relationship between themselves and their business, and they don't build it based on the life that they want to live, the beautiful aspects of it. They don't build in the rewards, the beauty, the things that are going to draw them in, even if they're not going to get anything out of it. So if I can implore you to do anything, it's take some time to reflect back on the things that are important to you in your business. You're going to have trial and error in the beginning. If something doesn't feel right, don't be afraid to pivot. Don't be afraid to pivot. Don't be afraid to say, like, this part of it is not for me. I did that with Mighty Networks last year. I realized I hated showing up to Mighty Networks every day. It was not it for me. And it's okay to pivot, because I think that that's such a crucial piece of when you're first building your business. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for showing up. And remember that big dreams and small steps will transform your life.
Do you have things that you want to do for yourself or for your business, but they always get put on the back burner? Do you want to share space with others getting stuff done? Well, join the High Vibe Coworking, which is every Wednesday from noon to noon EST via Zoom and totally free. Visit highvibe.com/virtual to learn more.